This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is AmTower Off-Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. Every week, author, speaker, consultant Mark AmTower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. AmTower Off-Center with your host, Mark AmTower.
Welcome to AmTower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Mark AmTower. I have three guests today. We're going to be talking to the guys that run the Alliant, GWAC from GSA. We have with us Casey Kelly, John Cavadillas, and Richard Blake. Gentlemen, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having us, Mark.
Okay. We're going to start with a little background on each, and we'll start with Casey Kelly. Casey, take it away, please.
Sure. So my name is Casey Kelly. I'm the director of the GSA Enterprise GWAC Division in San Diego. Prior to coming to GSA, I started my career in the private industry, primarily in the telecom and workspace, doing business development for telecommunications. From there, I transitioned to federal government, working for the U.S. District Courts in Los Angeles around 1996, and that's where I started learning federal acquisitions as a customer of GSA. About 3.5 years later after that, GSA recruited me to come work for them. I started as an IT specialist for GSA, worked up through the what was then known as the Federal Technology Service Organization, what is now known as GSA's Assisted Acquisition Services, and until I took on the current position that I am in today back in 2008 as the director of the Enterprise GWAC Division that supports Alliant.
Okay. John Cavadillas, please, background.
Hi, Mark. John Cavadillas here, now the procuring contracting officer for the Alliant 2 GWAC. I actually, too, started in private business. I was a consumer, a retail, and wholesale banker, started in the savings and loans business, had a wonderful career, worked up to a corporate vice president, one of the largest savings and loan in America. Back in 1990, they all fell apart, so I was recruited by the FDIC to help resolve that crisis. And that's how I got into government contracting, and did that job for about 5 years, managing the failed assets of the savings and loans and selling them off. And then I got into the Marine Corps and for 13 years worked my way up to the regional director of contracting in the West and managed the installations, bases, and air stations and the contingency Marines. It was solid DOD-type contracting. From there, I wanted to change, and I wanted to go back to my private sector roots and still enjoyed government, so GSA was the perfect choice for me. So joined here about 4 years ago and managed the Alliant, the first Alliant contract, and for the past year now developing the Alliant 2.
Cool. Richard Blake, please.
Yeah, thank you. My background is also private industry. I worked in the C-suite for various companies, Prokenix, ESEN Managed Systems, Avaya, Salient Network, and was recruited by government working as a contractor. Casey and I got together and saw a need within the Alliant program. So I've been in information technology. We like to say I'm an OG, an original geek. So I've been with government now for about 10 years.
Cool. All right. So this is the third show I'm doing on GWAX, and from what I gather, Alliant hasn't been profiled on any shows. So I'm particularly thrilled to have you guys with me. So Casey, why don't you give us a little background on the really huge GWAC here?
Well, thank you again, Mark, and we want to put a shout out to Mary Davey who gave us the authorization to be on your show here today. So the GSA GWAC program itself, it's been in place since 1998. And before Alliant started, which was about 6.5 years ago, it was already a very well-established organization with the predecessor contract vehicles, Answer, Millennia, and Millennia Light. And so when I first took over and got this position, the first thing, you know, Alliant was just starting. It had not been awarded yet. And the first thing I wanted to do was just not wreck or ruin what was already a well-established program serving the, you know, agencies, both on the defense and civilian side of the house.
Yeah, first, do no harm.
Exactly. And so, you know, I did that by interviewing our customers, by interviewing and talking with industry and getting to know our team. We got a really well-established team. And what really helped, I think, make Alliant so successful, in spite of the slow start it had until finally getting awarded and launching, was the design itself, the model, which has now been replicated by a few different contracts, such as OASIS. We basically have, you know, two identical contract vehicles, near identical, with one being a set-aside to small business. The scope of Alliant is brilliant. It's aligned with federal enterprise architecture, which Richard will get into more later in terms of the scope. But that basically allows for anything IT anywhere in terms of IT services to be performed in this contract vehicle. So it's very comprehensive. If you add to that the fact that the flexibility of it, all contract types can be awarded under it, whether it be fixed price, cost, time and materials, and the fact that under a single task order under this contract vehicle, whether or not what the need is for the IT solution, whether or not that need is IT or not, as long as it's integral and necessary to the IT solution, it is within scope, it can be done, and it makes for a very attractive vehicle for customers to use. So now fast forward, we just started our seventh year. To date, a total of $27 billion has been awarded between the two contract vehicles combined by over 61 agencies.
$27 billion.
Yes.
Not bad. We're talking real money in the immortal words, I believe, of Mr. Dirksen. I'm not quite sure if it was Dirksen or not, but I think it was. Give me some success stories here. You have the $27 billion in total. How many agencies are buying off this, and who are the biggies?
Well, 61 total agencies have used the vehicles combined. The big agencies are probably some of the names you would expect. For example, DHS, they have awarded close to $3 billion under it. Air Force is number two at $2.8 billion. And just the next ones down the list, top five are Department of State, Department of Army, Department of Justice, and the Department of Navy. In terms of success stories, and that's what we're really pleased to be on your show here, because we feel like Alliant has had a tremendous successful career through its, you know, through 6.5 years now. It's close to being in 6.5 years. One of the biggest success stories that we had under Alliant is when the U.S. Department of Navy did about a 2-year exhaustive research in terms of identifying IT service contracts that they thought would be best for that organization to support IT services, to narrow down that pool. And after 2.5 year exhaustive research, we worked very closely with them. We were very proud of the fact that Alliant and Alliant Small Business were selected as two of only, I think, 6 or 7 contracts that the Navy issued policy that instructed their personnel to use for IT services. Since that time, the Navy has now, as they migrate to the cloud, all their data centers, they've started that process by using the Alliant contract vehicle for that work, which we're very proud of.
Okay, so and they're number 6 on your buyers and likely to move up as a result of that that mandate.
We believe so, correct. So,
What you know, you had a deal with Social Security as well. Tell me about that.
That's a great story, actually, because it ties to where the government's trying to go towards in terms of reducing contract duplication or contract proliferation. So about a year and a half, 2 years ago, the Social Security had a need for a pretty substantial size requirement for IT services. It was more along the lines of video, I believe. And so we saw what they posted on the formal OFPP, OMB, Max business case, their draft scope of the work to be performed, that they thought that there wasn't an existing contract vehicle that that they could be used for their unique needs. And so when we reviewed that performance work statement and then shared our feedback to them on how we believe that the Alliant contract could be considered, they researched it, they met with us, they talked a lot, long story short. Instead of issuing a brand new agency unique IDIQ, they use the Alliant contract vehicle, save time and money in terms of how long it took to get that awarded, and awarded that task order under Alliant. So we're very proud and pleased with that.
Cool. We're going to take our first break. My guests today are Casey Kelly, John Cavadias, and Richard Blake of the GSA Alliant office, and we'll be back after this. Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. I have three guests today from the Alliant program, Casey Kelly, John Cavadias, and Richard Blake. Casey, we left off. Give me some key differences in this vehicle. I mean, GWACs are hot right now. Bloomberg government just did a thing on how multiple award contracts are growing in popularity and in usage. Popularity for both sides, the contractors and the buyers. So, what were the key differences for this program?
Yeah, so thank you. So I think where I want to focus, Mark, is on the key differences and where we're headed towards with the Alliant 2 acquisition that we've been in the pre-planning phase for about 18 months now. So one of the first questions we often got when we started this, being very transparent through Interact with both industry and government, is, wow, you know, Alliant just finished its sixth year, starting year seven, and aren't you a little bit premature to begin planning for Alliant 2? Well, the reality is no. The public would be surprised in that about 30% of the task orders that have been awarded under Alliant and Alliant Small Business to date have had a period of performance that have been over 6 years. So when we hit, when we exercised the five-year option period on Alliant back in April of last year, we now had a gap for our agency customers who want to still come and use Alliant and want to use the Alliant contract vehicle for a period of performance beyond 5 years. So that kind of accelerated our, you know, market research to begin looking at what do we need to do for planning for Alliant 2, and what are some of the things we want to try and accomplish in terms of key differences between the successful Alliant small business and the plans for Alliant 2 and Alliant 2 small business. And so with that, I think that's a good segue for me to ask Richard Blake, our senior technologist, to touch on the specifics of those differences and also maybe dive into the scope a little bit. Richard?
Sure. Yeah. Thank you, Casey. But I would say that going back to Alliant 1 and harking back to that contract, the key difference was our scope alignment with Federal Enterprise Architecture. And whoever made that decision, I certainly wasn't involved, whoever made that decision at the onset, it was a brilliant decision. And as much as technologies that presented after the award of Alliant 1 we didn't require a technical refresh. We didn't require any modifications to the contract. If it's IT and if it's part of IT infrastructure, IT architecture, then it's automatically within the scope of Alliant. Obviously, one of the tenets to Alliant 1 that we wanted to bring forward in Alliant 2 is exactly that. So the major scope definition of Alliant 2, it will be and remains FEA, Federal Enterprise Architecture, DoD, IEA versions 2. So that will not change in the contract. Our evaluation criteria, however, in Alliant 2, we have the benefit of some 7 or 8 years of experience. We know the type of work, the ICS work that's being done under Alliant. We know the type of customers that are using Alliant. So we're trying to tailor those evaluation criteria to speak to that need. And also the need that most of the media and most of government employees would agree will present in the future for government, cybersecurity, health IT, those type of issues. So I think that the key difference between Alliant 1 and Alliant 2, while the scope remains the same, is we're taking a deeper dive on the capabilities of the contractors that will win Alliant 2. The other thing that will remain the same is there's no mother may I in either contract. And what we mean by that is that our contractors, our awardees, can pair with or partner with any subcontractor they require without permission from the program office in order to affect a successful solicitation or successful task or government. So if there are little boutique companies out there, small boutique companies out there that offer a unique capability, our major primes can go out and touch them. We're going to emphasize that in the second contract as well.
Okay, so when you say they don't require approval from the program office, are you talking about from the buying agency or from you?
I'm talking about from us, from the program office. Okay. So if XYZ major contractor needs to affect a large cybersecurity task, and there is a company out there that handles, let's say, behavioral analytics in a very good way that they know of, whether that company is doing business with government or not, our large primes can reach out to that company, bring them in under their wing, and perform the work for government.
Cool. Nice flexibility. So Casey, is it time to migrate over to John here, or are there a few other things that we're missing on the scope of this vehicle?
I think a couple of the other things, and again, because this is, we haven't issued the final official RFPs yet. And John will, as our contracting officer, will be with a caveat to all this. But things we're strongly considering and likely to happen in terms of differences is we're looking at using standardized IT service labor categories from the Department of Labor under Alliant 2 and Alliant 2 Small Business. We believe by using standardized IT service labor categories, we can get some efficiencies in terms of capturing information and making it easier for our customers when they're on the front end, when they're doing acquisition planning, what contract vehicle to use, or on the back end, when they're making award decisions by comparing, apples to apples versus apples to oranges. And so the standardized IT service labor categories are very attractive for that reason. We also are going to have some language in there regarding cybersecurity, which is a big issue right now in IT, especially in the federal government with what just happened. So we're going to have an affirmation or a supply chain risk management language in there so that at the umbrella level, the winning primes in this contract vehicle are affirming that they meet a bare minimum in terms of what the government requires in terms of cyber protection, with allowing that flexibility at the task order level with each agency that uses Alliant to add additional language and levels to their needs that they can be done. So that's another key difference. And then the last two things is we've got some good, hard sustainability objectives in there that are aligned nicely with the Presidential Executive Order 13514 and 13653. I'll let your audience look those up, but it's really encouraging and positive. We're in terms of what we as a country, as a globe, are trying to accomplish, especially with IT, when that IT is no longer needed and has to be recycled or disposed of. And then the final segue to John, I think John could touch on how we're looking at adding flexible contract types. And I'll let John speak to that.
Okay, well, I'm going to hold off on John for a minute. I want a couple of quick questions here. As you transition, how many companies were on the original Alliant and Alliant Small Biz?
So originally 58 on Alliant and 73 on Alliant Small Business.
Okay. Are you anticipating, with this being the second iteration, are you anticipating the need to award a higher number. We saw the protest on the soup vehicle last fall and the resultant delay in the award. So I'm assuming you've built in something here to accommodate.
Yeah, so we have a draft, a formal official draft RFP out that John will speak to. In that draft RFP, which is not a final decision, we've indicated to award to 40 primes plus ties under Alliant and 80 primes plus ties under Alliant to small business.
Okay, so you really want to cap this thing, which makes sense.
It's, you know what it is, Mark, more than anything else, you know, in our market research, and again, this is, we're really working closely with a customer working group that we've established that we meet with monthly of our customers, as well as considering feedback from industry. It's not a schedule. It's a GWAC contract vehicle.
Right.
The type of work that's being performed under this is complex IT. We want to ensure that our customers' needs are met when they come to this vehicle if they've got complex cyber requirements that they're trying to have fulfilled, or cloud, or, you know, data migration. So the caliber of the primes that we're looking for, it's a little bit higher than your average run-of-the-mill federal contract vehicle out there, and as proof is from how successful in terms of agencies that have used Alliant and Alliant Small Business to date and the dollars that have been awarded against it, we want to ensure that we sustain that caliber on Alliant 2 and Alliant 2 Small Business in spite of a final decision not being made.
Yeah, and I want to emphasize to those listening that we're talking $27 billion awarded in a little better than 6.5 years. Am I correct in those numbers?
That is correct. So let me just last clarify. So when I say $27 billion awarded, the key point for your audience, Mark, those are not actual obligations. What that is, for most of our awards, it's awarded typically for a base period of 12 months with typically 5 option periods.
Okay.
So if you take $27 billion, that's all awards to date by all agencies if you add up all options that we presume will be exercised over the life of those task orders.
Cool. Still, any way you cut it, a very significant number. So
we agree. Just want to clarify for your audience if they see different numbers on our dashboard.
Okay, great. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back with John Cavadillas. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Back after this. Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Mark AmTower. Three guests today from the Alliant program. We have Casey Kelly, John Cavadillas, and Richard Blake. Casey, is there a website for Alliant specifically?
Yeah, so gsa.gov/Alliant, A-L-L-I-A-N-T.
What a hard address. Okay, cool. wanted to get that in. John, we're going to be talking to John Cavadillas right now. Give me the background or the scope of the acquisition strategy here.
Oh, certainly. I would love to. This has been a lot of fun personally for me because procuring an IDIQ-type contract, and we refer to it as the master contract that's used for the agencies to procure individual task orders off of, is very challenging. The reason is because a master contract, as I'm doing this procurement, doesn't actually have a requirement on there. So how does one do a source selection? What is it that we're going to evaluate that's going to be of value to the master contract? And so the way we looked at it is, well, it's a pre-qualification of contractors who are going to be part of this pool. So what's important to us and what's important to the federal agencies who are going to make use of this contract? So aside from doing market research with industry to figure out what they can and can't do on such a vehicle, we also spend quite a bit of time with our federal agencies who are our clients today, on Alliant 1 and our potential clients for Alliant 2. So their feedback is essential to us because they're the ones that are going to use it. They're the ones we are actually serving. That's where our fiduciary responsibility is, to provide those agencies with their IT procurement requirements. So we take all that into account as we're developing both the acquisition strategy and the entire scope of Alliant, both pre-award and post-award requirements. So what we did here is that we took a look at doing perhaps giving out sample task orders as part of the source selection, but we thought, well, you know, this scope of Alliant 2 is so broad, it's so wide, it wouldn't be fair to do that. Because, for example, if we were to do a sample task order as an evaluated factor on, say, robotics, not everyone out there in the IT community has that kind of experience, and we would be ruling out others. So it's an unfair method to determine whether a contractor has the capabilities. Because the contractors are very diverse out there, and they all have their own unique combinations of core competencies. Some of those group of unique core competencies are unique from another contractor's group of core competencies. Anyway, so we want to be fair in this. So we figured that on a technical level, we're going to look at the capability factors of the potential offerers, and we're going to base that on their prior experience with what Alliant has done in the past. And about 94% of what Alliant's task orders are all about are part of our review, and we just base that on PC codes. And that is a determination of how they're going to perform in the future, because we combine that, and although we do look at it separately, with the corresponding review of their past performance on those contracts that they submit to us. And then we're going to also look at other key factors, such as their IT certifications, their systems, and their clearances as a capability factor. For example, on certifications, we'll look at a CMMI certifications, ISO 9000, ISO 20000, ISO IEC 27000. From the clearances standpoint, we're looking at the level of clearance they have in terms of secret or top secret. So what we're doing is we're going to look at technical abilities first. So those with the highest technically rated abilities that also have what we're calling fair and reasonable pricing, and I'll get into that in a moment, will be chosen as the top 40 or top 80 at this point to be on this pool of Alliant 2. For cost, this is difficult. We don't actually have a task order. We don't actually have anything to trade. So we want to put trade-offs to the side because there's nothing to really trade off here. We don't have a real requirement yet at the point of developing this master contract. So we're going to request a cost and price offer from the offerers that's going to need to be within our 31 standard IT labor categories, which we have in the statement of not in the statement of work in section L of the procurement. So an offeror only needs to come within a range which we set, and that range, by the way, comes from our own research with the Department of Labor, and Richard could get into that in a little bit, since Richard was the key person who actually did the research on that. And then we allow what we're doing, which is unusual, is we're allowing the contractor to self-score themselves on their prior experience, their prior past performance, and what they have in terms of systems, certifications, cost accounting systems, business systems, things of that nature. And they provide that with their proposal, and we verify that. We will have a verification of every item that's submitted to us, and those that have the highest technical score and also have provided a fair and reasonable price on those 31 standard IT categories in that top 40 plus ties will be awarded the contract. We're trying to keep this as objective as possible. We're trying to get rid of the subjectivity. For those who have reviewed the standard technical proposals, they're usually about what the offeror is going to do if they get this contract. I'm going to do this, this, and that. Everything in that type of proposal is future-based. But that's not a value here. What's a value here in this type of procurement is taking a look at their relevant experience. What have you done in the past? Provide that to us, whether it's from federal government or from the commercial sector, whether it's from state government. It doesn't matter if you have this type of experience within the requirements of Section L. You know, provide that to us. Provide us the past performance and let us know, you know, what kind of certifications and systems you have. And that's how we're basing the entire procurement. So what we've done is we've actually, aside from Casey had made mention that that we've established a working group of agencies, and we provide them with sections of our draft. We provide them with ideas, and we receive feedback. What is it they want? What is it they don't want? And that's extremely helpful to us. We're constantly making modifications to our draft internally based on what they need, because it's their need. It's the agency's need. And we do a tremendous amount of market research. We recently spent 1 month both in San Diego and in Kansas City speaking with approximately 150 contractors in this business, allowing them a minimum of 30 minutes to ask us anything they want based on a draft RFP we had released on March 31st. And that was extremely helpful to us, and we're taking all that feedback and we're digesting it and making changes to our draft based upon what's in the best interest of the government. And there's quite a bit of great information that came from industry. We have a Lion 2 at gsa.gov mailbox, and we're constantly receiving and we're soliciting feedback, suggestions, comments, anything anyone wants to give us, white papers, which our acquisition team, our joint team, we have a joint team. It's San Diego for the unrestricted GWAC, and it's Kansas City. We have a team there that we work together for the small business set-aside GWAC. And we work face-to-face. We work on teleconferences. This is most of what we do during the day. And we're constantly making adjustments so that we can come up with a vehicle that's going to be of use to the agencies out there. It's their vehicle. We're only one of those 180, however many there are, agencies out there that use Alliant. And we want to make sure it's a vehicle that's going to be attractive to them. We also work with the Department of Defense procurement policy so that we can get feedback from them. You know, what is it that you would like in this vehicle? What's attractive? What's going to make this vehicle more attractive to DOD to use? Because that's of prime importance to us. How do we create a GWAC vehicle that's going to be of top value to the Department of Defense? And the Department of Defense accounts for about somewhere in the area of 50% of our business on the GWACs.
John, thanks for that perfect segue. We're going to take our last break here. You're listening to AmTower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. My guests are Casey Kelly, John Cavadillas, and Richard Blake of GSA's Alliant program, and we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to AmTower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Mark AmTower. My guests today are the Alliant team from San Diego, Casey Kelly, John Cavadillas, and Richard Blake. You can find the Alliant program online at www.gsa.gov/Alliant, A-L-L-I-A-N-T. Casey, let's start with we're in our last segment here, so I know the question that I'm going to get after this show airs, and that question is going to be, hey, I just heard the show, didn't know about this, how do I play? What's your advice for these people?
I would encourage anyone and everyone interested to go to the website we referenced earlier, where they can find information on how to get to the Alliant 2 Interact
blog where they can get a wealth of information and communicate with us their level of interest or questions they have. We're open in hoping to get, which we believe will get, a strong turnout in terms of companies competing to get onto Alliant 2 or Alliant 2 Small Business.
Okay.
Just as a segue, Mark, I think what I'd like to ask if you think it'd be appropriate, Richard, you know, as our technologist, perhaps you can speak to what leading edge technologies are. That's a topic that comes up quite a bit to date. It's embedded in the draft RFP. Maybe you can touch on that as it ties to what John shared, Richard.
Sure, and thank you, Casey. And that's a great tie into what John was talking about. If I were wanting to get involved, just hearing about it on the show, I would start reviewing my library. We're taking a look at relevant experience as it is articulated by product service codes. That is the work that's been done under Alliant One previously. We did a subjective analysis of that work, took each task order, the very complex task orders that we do, and rated them the top three or four PSC codes that we felt would articulate the type of work that was done. And then we built a table in our scoring sheet, as evidenced by the draft RFP, of three categories. Category one, which represents most of the work done under Alliant One. Category two, or section two, which displays some of the work, a very minor part, done on Alliant One. And then section three, where some or very little work was done. I'd begin to go through my library and subjectively analyze the work that I've done if I were a contractor, because that's what we're going to ask you to do. We're going to ask you that no matter what FPDSNG says, because a lot of the times it says D399 IT services other, which is proper because it articulates the very complex work that we're doing. But it'll be up to the contractor then go in and ferret through and dig out those PSC codes that they want to cite for the scoring possibilities. Again, this solicitation will be a self-scoring exercise for the contractor. Same thing exists with the LETs. In as much as we're aligned with FEA, and FEA has functional areas and design areas, we've selected technologies, or we're in the process of selecting technologies that we're putting into the lead, what we're calling leading edge technologies, that we believe demonstrate the type of work that will need to be done under this contract in the future. And we're tying that directly to FEA so that it's within the scope of the contract. I would be going through my library and aligning those citations that I intend to use as an offeror with those leading edge technologies. So it's a six-step process that we're putting together. They need to subjectively review it, review their own library, align it with the PSC or the LET that they intend to cite. Pick one LET or one PSC because we're not allowing for rinse and repeat. You can't use a task order more than once. Complete a template that we're assigning. Authenticate that template and submit. When I say you can't use it more than once in each section, so you can use a task order or cite a task order once in the PSC section, then you could reuse that in the LET section as well, but only once per section. So my advice to those who are wanting to get involved is start doing your homework and going through the process as best as you can. We're about to release the new list of leading-edge technologies. I wouldn't be spending a great deal of time on the current leading-edge technologies because they're going to change considerably, but the PSCs remain consistent. John, did you want to add anything to that?
No, Richard, I think you covered it all. And for those who have never seen the original draft RFP, you can find it on Federal Business Ops. And just do a search for Alliant 2, that's the number 2 RFP, and you'll find it there. As far as how Richard described the PSEs and the LETs, there isn't too much that's going to change that's already in Section L in that section. Other than the LETs themselves, they will be updated, and that update of LETs will be in the form of an RFI on Federal Business Ops within the next couple of weeks.
Okay, so give me some final thoughts here, Casey. The scope of this vehicle is huge. The dollars assigned to it are potentially huge. What do you want people to walk away with today?
My takeaway, what I want people to walk away from, just before Alliant started, the plan with Alliant was to continue the success of its predecessors, Answer, Millennia, and Millennia Lite. the three GSA GWACs that were very, very successful, which Alliant has exceeded in terms of dollars awarded and agencies have used. So the takeaway is Alliant 2, we're not changing anything there. We plan to continue to sustain all the same best practices, such as providing complimentary scope reviews to customers who have an IT service need and are not sure if it's within scope. It can come to us, and within less than 24 hours, they can get a formal written response to us and help from our technical team and acquisition team to see if Alliant is a good fit for them. To continue providing acquisition templates like we provide today. We provide 16 to customers to save them time if they're considering Alliant, how to make the acquisition process easier for them. To continue to provide sample statements of work. Today we provide 15 sample statements of work under 15 different IT disciplines. All those I call value adds, best practices, those aren't going away. We're going to sustain those and continue to look for new ways to add value on the great, you know, contract vehicle that we're in the midst of designing right now.
John or Richard, do you want to add anything?
Yes, and this is John. And also what we're making an effort to do, even this contracting officer, is that we're trying to create the vehicle that is of the highest value to the federal agencies, which is why we're also spending a tremendous amount of time talking to our agency group. Because if the product isn't of the best quality, if we don't have the best contractors on there, then they won't use it. But at this rate, what I can say is that based on how we are procuring this vehicle, it's going to be even a better vehicle than the originally successful Alliant procurement.
Cool. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining me today. I greatly appreciate it. You can find these guys at gsa.gov/Alliant, Alliant with two L's. And thank you very much for listening to AmTower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
You've been listening to AmTower Off-Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. AmTower Off-Center, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.